ね。Amen. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. We are continuing our series this morning entitled Crucified, right? Answering the question on how to live this crucified life that we have in Christ. As we'll see this morning, right, really our theme verse for the whole series, Galatians 2, 20, which says this, that Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so answering the question about what it looks like to walk out that life, live that life out. Last week we walked through the beginning part of Galatians chapter 1, right? And we saw Paul really get real with the people in this region of Galatia. As we talked about, and if you weren't here or came last week, let me just give you a preface of what's taking place, just a reminder here. Remember, there are these Christians in this region of Galatia that, man, Paul went, planted churches out there, man. Folks got saved, folks were growing in the Lord. And then we had some false teachers that rose up from within the church to preach essentially this false gospel that, hey, it's not only, man, that you got to come to faith in Christ in order for you to be saved. You also got to observe some of the old Jewish laws, some of the old Jewish tradition. It's that married with Christ equals you truly being in a right relationship with God. And Paul comes in and, man, rebukes him from the get-go. And he says, look, that's not right. That's not right. As a matter of fact, he gets real with the teachers that were there. He said, man, if anybody's preaching this false gospel, man, let them be accursed. Man, let them be cursed because what they're doing is wrong. And so he kind of ends that section there. That's where we ended last week, this idea of being crucified to man. And then from verse 111 on through the beginning of chapter 2, we see Paul essentially defend who he is. He defends his apostleship, which, by the way, you know, apostleship, right, in the context of what Paul's talking about here is, capital A, apostleship, meaning this, folks that saw, right, the risen Lord, that saw Jesus, And so Paul is defending, right, him seeing Jesus. He's defending his faith and how he came to faith in Christ. And he's defending this very message of the gospel. And then he gets real again. Again, this book of, man, this letter to the Galatians, man, he's just getting real and honest. Obviously in love, but man, he's rebuking folks left and right. He gets real again with one of, man, the patriarchs of the faith. He has an interaction in verse 11 through 14 with Peter. You know Peter. Man, he's the dude that walked with Jesus. He's the dude, man, that was so zealous for the Lord, right? In one gospel account, right, Jesus is getting tempted. Man, Peter draws a sword and cuts off a soldier's ear that's looking to take him to get crucified, man. This guy was zealous, right, for Jesus. Loved him so much. He had his struggles, but loved him. Well, Peter, man, had fallen into this same trap that a lot of the Christians in Galatia fell into. As a matter of fact, Peter was being a catalyst in this. He was originally all for seeing folks saved, right? All for this idea of, man, those of us in Christ, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, those of us in Christ, man, we're one. But then, right, we see him for the sake of trying to appease, right, his fellow Jewish folks, seep back into this thought of, you know what, I'm just going to hang out with the Jewish folks and not really mess with those Gentile people. Right? Which speaks to this reality of him, right, believing this idea of, hey, actually it's more than just believing in Jesus to be saved. Jesus fell into this trap that a lot of folks fall into, right? This idea of it being more so about heritage, right, than about your heart whenever it comes to faith. Right, there are many people who believe, hey, it's by your heritage. Okay, you know, your grandparents are saved, right? So that, yeah, that means that you're more right with God than the person, man, that may not have any faith background but came to faith in Jesus. And what Paul says is this, that's not true at all. Not true at all. There's no one that's more righteous than another. Hey, we're all, man, one in Christ. Maybe further along spiritually, but we're all one in Christ. And then we see him go into further detail here in chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, which is where we're going to be this morning. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there this morning. After Paul opposes Peter, right, he gets into this process of what happened to us whenever we came to faith in Christ. And so here's what the word of the Lord says. Here's what it says. Verse 15. It says this: we ourselves are Jews by birth, but not Gentile sinners, right? Which is what Gentile folks were known to in the Jewish circles. Right, really, as Gentile sinners, not just Gentiles, they're sinners, man. It's because of their heritage, right? They weren't Jewish. Verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. And not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified to Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. And then verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Crucified to Christ. Crucified to Christ. Why don't we pray one more time together? Lord, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to us. God, teach us what it looks like to live this life. God, crucified to ourselves, Lord. We thank you that through your cross, Lord, we can walk in that new life. And live that way. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Real quick, what Paul is highlighting here pertaining to what it looks like, right, to be crucified with Christ. He speaks here in verses 15 through 21, right, two quick points for us this morning to take away about what it looks like to be crucified with Christ. First point is this. Point number one is this. Crucified with Christ means that we have died to submitting to the law for salvation. We've died to this idea of us having to submit to the law for salvation. As I talked about last week, right, the law is what's talked about here. It's the old Jewish traditional system, right? The law comprised of 613 or so laws that the Jewish folks, followed, essentially, right, to live set apart. Now, the religious leaders, right, that came up during Jesus' day, they added certain things to the law there. But in their minds, they thought that if they followed the law the best way that they could, that, man, they would be in right standing with God. They would have a relationship with God. Just because they followed these set of rules and laws, right, that they were right with God. They were close to him. And what Paul is saying is, no, that's not it at all. He says it here in the text. Hey, we know that even though, man, we're Jewish, you know, in heritage, that doesn't mean that, man, following the law is the way for us to be in right standing with God, to have a relationship with God. And so for us in Christ, we've got to understand that. We died to this thought. That we've got to follow the law in order to be saved, right? Or to keep our salvation. Follow these set of rules, right? To follow these set of good deeds in order for us to be right with God.
Here's the deal, right? The law, right, i.e. legalism, what I talked about earlier, right, this idea of having to do things in order to be right with God, what that does is that essentially breeds this thought that, hey, you could do it on your own. It breeds this thought that you could save yourself. When in reality, that's not the case at all. We can't. We can't. And so Paul is saying this, hey, whenever we've been crucified with Christ, here's the deal. We have died to this idea of submitting to the law as a part of us coming to faith in Christ. Whenever we talk about the law, right, and we highlight what the law is, we've got to understand first and foremost its purpose. Paul talks about this, he's going to talk about this throughout the rest of the book, but he talks about it in some of his other letters as well. But he highlights the purpose of the law. See, the reason why the law can't save us, following these set of rules, they can't save us because, man, hey, in and of itself, the law doesn't have any power to. That wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law wasn't to save us. It was to show us our need to be saved. It reminds me of the time here. I think I just got here. It was about 3.5-4 years ago. I was just starting to work at Living Hope, and I remember we did a collegiate event at Austin Peay. We did a little tailgating event, and we're set up, here in the little alley row there. Football game's getting ready to start. I'm just eating, all the free food from some of the other, tailgating places there. They had some good food out there: wings, burgers, all this stuff. I'm eating, having a good time, and I start to bite on something, and all of a sudden, I feel a piece of my tooth chip. And so as that moment happened, I realized, man, it's been several years since I've been to the dentist. Several years, like high school, since I've been to the dentist. It's been a long time. Didn't have any insurance, hadn't been to the dentist in a while. And so I'm eating, I feel that tooth chip, and then I look to my right, and I realize, wait a second, we're set up right next to a new dental office that's opening up in town. Maybe that's a sign from God that I need to go to the dentist and check out what's going on. And so I go over there, sign up, and set up my appointment. And we go into the little dental office there. I tell them kind of what the issue is. That, all right, we got to take, a couple x-rays, And so they set up all the stuff in your mouth. You got to keep your mouth open for like a super long time. I mean, it was tough, man. My jaw got locked up. But they, took x-rays, saw all the pictures there. And then they came back and said, all right, we got x-rays. Yeah, you definitely have a problem. Definitely have a problem. And I said, okay. And so they told me all the solution that I had to do to get it. I had to get a big old root canal, the whole nine yards, right? I had to go get surgery, all that stuff. It was a very painful time. Not necessarily for my mouth, for my pocketbooks was what it was painful. But listen, here's the deal. Right, the x-ray that I got, hey, it simply showed the problem that I had in my mouth. There wasn't any power in that x-ray to fix the issue that was in my mouth. It just showed that I had an issue. I wish, man, the x-ray would fix it because, man, I would have saved a ton of money. Even with insurance, man, I paid a ton of money, Brother Matthew. But there was no power in that x-ray. It just showed my need to fix the tooth that was in my mouth that had the issue. Hey, listen, friend, in the same way, that was the law, purpose of the law. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and 4, hey, listen, the law actually is just a tutor to show you that you need Jesus. Right? The law is a mirror, right? To show that, man, you've got a problem and that you've got to turn to Jesus. And so listen, friend, that's the purpose of the law. The law cannot save us. Look at what James chapter 2 verse 10 says. Look at what James says here pertaining to the law. Here's what it says. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. Become guilty of all of it. Meaning this, that, hey, man, even if you keep the law perfectly to a T, but fail in one aspect, hey, you're guilty. You're guilty. Listen, that's the cumbersome thing about the law, man. Those of you that are trying to find faith in Jesus by keeping a set of rules, right? By maybe following the Mosaic law. Listen, you can't follow it perfectly. It's not its purpose. The purpose is to show you your need for Jesus. The fact that you don't measure up to Him. And the fact that you will always fall short. I know that's gloom and doom, right? We see the purpose of the law. Gloom and doom. But we also see then the promise of faith. Look at what Paul says here, going back to the text. He says this,
Right, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus. So we also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. He says this, hey, the promise of faith is, man, that we can be justified. We can be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the promise to faith. This word justified here in the original language, it means literally this, to be declared righteous. Right? It comes from a judicial context. It comes from a judicial context. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily pardoned, right? Because pardon means that, even though you've been forgiven of something, you know, it doesn't mean that there was any kind of change that took place there. You just were forgiven. Man, to be justified, man, to be declared righteous is this, that someone came in and paid the punishment for what you had going on. And so if those of us in here who choose to confess our sins and believe in Jesus, man, listen, we can be declared righteous. Whenever we surrender to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are made righteous. We are made right with God, declared righteous. Justification, it's not an instantaneous, or justification is instantaneous, rather, the moment we turn from sin and trust in Christ. This idea that there's no one that's more justified than any other person. As I mentioned earlier, right, this word being justified, justification, it's not a pardon, right, as a pardon is an unconditional release, but does nothing to your record. A pardoned criminal still has a record, but when we trust in Christ, the record of our sin is expunged and made clean. Amen. And my sin is to be remembered no more. Right? That's the promise of faith. It's the beauty of faith. Whenever we submit to Christ, man, hey, all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. We're no longer guilty. But we are free in Christ. Look at what Romans 4, verses 1 through 3 says. Look what it says here. This is Paul talking about Abraham, even before the law came about, right, on how he was made right with God. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. Right, the promise of faith is that we experience grace. It's grace, nothing that we could do to earn it. And through grace, we have freedom in Christ. That's the promise of faith. Those of you who don't know Christ today, hey, the good news is you can, man, experience that same grace today. Trying to follow rules in order to get right with God, hey, you can't. Can't do enough. Can't be enough. I choose to surrender to Him and be made right with God in Him. Crucified with Christ looks like us dying to this thought that we've got to submit to the law in order to be made right with God. Secondly is this. Being crucified with Christ looks like us, right? Understanding that we have died to surrendering to the law for spiritual growth. Died to submit to the law for salvation, but we've also died to surrendering to the law for spiritual growth. Look back at the text here. Look at what Paul says. It says, but if in our endeavor to be justified with Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Paul's saying this. Hey, whenever you choose to go back to following the law, man, to try and grow with Christ, you're taking a step backwards. You're essentially tearing down, man, what Christ has built up in and through you. Why would you do that, is what he's saying. But through the law, I died to it. I died to the law so that I might live to God. What he's saying here is this, man, hey, through the law, we understand our need for Christ. Whenever we surrender to Christ, man, hey, we've died to the law. No, the law no longer has, right, we no longer have to follow the legal demands of it in order to feel like we've got to be made right with God. Now we live for God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We've died to surrendering to the law for spiritual growth. Hey, friend, listen, the Christian life, listen, it's not about following a list of do's and don'ts. It's about dying to self and choosing to live for Christ.
Hey, the Christian life is not about following the law. Man, it's about a loving relationship with, man, the creator of the universe, the Father, our Father. Man, that's what the Christian life is all about. And for us in Christ, man, listen, whenever we've surrendered to Him, man, the call to live for Him, right, is the same way in which we, man, submitted to Him first and foremost as Lord and Savior. Which is this, man, walking in the grace and the freedom that we have in Him.
And choosing to die to self every single day. Christian life, right, it's a call to die. And as I've said before, the best news is that when we die, we find true life. Dying, right, this idea of us surrendering to the law for spiritual growth, real quick, what it looks like for us is this. Right, this idea of being crucified with Christ that enables us ultimately to live for Him. Man, whenever we died to Christ, man, we've died to the power of sin. Listen, we are now free, as He says in Galatians 5:1, to live right for Him, to walk in Him. We're free. No longer under condemnation. We can walk in this freedom that we have in Him. One of my favorite books growing up was, it actually ended up turning into a movie. It's a book called Holes. I don't know if any of you guys have read it before. Holes, y'all remember that book, that movie? Louis Satchar wrote it, but there's a scene. I mean, I could spend a long time kind of giving you the overview, but essentially it, a little detention center for kids, that got caught up in trouble. They had to dig these holes, and it was, a tough time and stuff. But part of the book goes back to the history of that little area where they were from. And one of the characters in it, right in the movie, Dule Hill, he plays this guy, Mr. Sam, who's around during the 19th century, who's essentially a, indentured servant there. But he's talking about how he had this, love for a school teacher that was there in the area. And his famous slogan that he gave was this. He'd say this all the time. I can fix that. He started this relationship with this teacher, right, because she had a hole in the roof of her schoolhouse. And, he says, hey, look, I bet you I can fix that. I can fix that. And so the story goes, right, he ends up fixing all these different things for this teacher, and they end up falling in love, and they end up not being able to be together just because of the time that they were in there. But as I got to thinking about that, I remember thinking of Mr. Sam as this guy, right, that kind of encompasses a lot of us whenever it comes to, our spiritual life, our Christian life. We have kind of this superiority complex about ourselves and thinking, oh, wait, man, I have a struggle, right, in my walk with God and my relationship with Him. Oh, man, hey, I can fix that. I can fix that. Oh, man, I'm battling an issue in my life. Hey, man, I can fix that. I grew up in church, man. I know things about, man, I can fix that. And that kind of mindset, what ends up happening there is, man, all of a sudden we nullify, right, this relationship that we have with the Lord. And we forget about Him. Instead of saying, hey, I can fix that, like Mr. Sam says, hey, our response ought to be to say, listen, I can't do that. Jesus, I need You. I need You. And choose to submit to Him, right, and walk out this loving relationship that we have in Him. Right, us dying to Christ allows for us to live for Him. And part of that living for Him is understanding that, hey, we can't maneuver through this Christian life on our own. We need Him. And so the call for us is to submit to Him. The Christian life, right, in Christ, it's now more about listening than speaking. It's about hearing God, right, before, man, ministering to others. It's about knowing Him, right, before serving. It's about being more
than doing. It's getting rid of this idea, hey, I can fix that, and choose to submit to one that truly can fix it every single day of our life. Crucified with Christ enables us to live for Him, as Paul talks about here. Then secondly and lastly, right, being crucified with Christ encourages us to fellowship with Him. In verse 20, he says this, I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. And that last part there, who loved me and gave himself for me. This picture of this loving relationship. Hey, friend, here's the deal. Man, it's so easy to have this concept that, man, we've got to earn God's love by what we do. Right, we've got to earn God's love, man, by how much we attend church or how well we follow something. Paul's saying this, no. Whenever we were crucified with Christ, listen, we understand that, man, He loves us unconditionally already. And so for us, we make the decision to say, hey, we're going to be about being at His feet and spending time with Him before we're about doing. Hey, listen, we understand that, hey, we're going to walk in this relationship with Him personally. Spend time with Him before we walk out and do the things that He's called for us to do. We understand that we don't mix the two. We don't do things in order, man, to earn God's love. We understand that we've already got it. And so out of His love, man, hey, we live and serve Him. And are part of what He's called us to do. Listen, being crucified with Christ, man, it encourages us to fellowship with Him. Believing that you grow closer to God by following a set of rules, man, it solely just leaves you tired and empty spiritually at the end of the day. Christianity is about a true loving relationship with the Creator of the universe. And hey, just like any relationship, whether it be platonic or romantic, right? At the end of the day, man, time invested in that relationship leads to growth. So for some of us in here, you know, our struggle is thinking, man, we don't do enough. We can't be enough. So, man, I can't spend time with God. That's a lie. Hey, it's through spending time with God, man, that we have the power to be able to do what He's called for us to do. And what Paul is highlighting is this. Whenever you choose to resort back to following these set of rules, man, following a set of doing good things, right, in order to grow closer with God, you're just taking a step backward. Matter of fact, he says it like this. Hey, you're nullifying the grace of God. You're making it of no value what He's done for you. And so for us as followers of Jesus, it takes us understanding this reality that, man, we get to have a loving, breathing relationship with the Creator of the universe. Look what it says here in Galatians 4. We'll go through this in the series, but look what it says here. Verse 4 through 7. It's not going to be on the screen. I'll just read it. Talking about the gospel here. Paul says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. In Christ, man, we're sons and daughters of God, no longer slaves. Us being crucified with Christ, man, it encourages us to walk in that relationship with Him. Reminds me of that old hymn, Brother Him, or Brother Ed, just a closer walk with Thee. Remember that old hymn, man, just a closer walk with Thee. Man, we ought to have that desire every single day of our life. And step by step, man, growing closer to the God of the universe who loved us, who saved us. And through doing that, right, He enables us, man, gives us the strength to be able to do what He's called for us to do. As we close today, it's so easy to get caught up in the trap that Peter and a lot of the Christians in this area got caught up in. So easy to get to a point where you're doing so much, right, that you forget about being. So easy to get to a point where you get this thought that, okay, my identity is wrapped up in trying to follow these set of rules and guidelines in order to keep my relationship with God, instead of understanding that, no, you're secure for all eternity, for one. And the call for us is to lean in on the God of the universe and walk in this loving relationship with Him. And it's really through that you're able to bear fruit. So easy to fall into that trap. And maybe you're there today. Maybe your life has been burdensome and cumbersome because you've fallen into this idea of, oh, I've got to do this, this, and this, or else God isn't going to love me anymore. Or I've got to log in this many hours, or I've got to do this certain thing, or else I'll fall out of God's love. If that's you, let me encourage you. No. God won't stop loving. He's never stopped loving. And what He wants you to do more than anything else, man, is draw close to Him and walk with Him. And listen, whenever you choose to do that, man, hey, you'll be able to walk in that freedom that it talks about here in Galatians 5. Hey, you'll be able to bear fruit and be that loving spouse, to be that loving parent, grandparent. Choosing to understand this concept that, man, hey, we don't have to earn God's favor, man. That was already taken care of at Calvary. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, as we wrap up today, this concept of being crucified with Christ, is understanding that we can only be made right with God, be justified with God, be declared righteous before God through our faith in Jesus. This idea of being crucified with Christ helps us to understand that only way that we're able to grow in our spiritual life is by choosing to walk closely with Jesus, not following a set of rules. This morning, as we enter into invitation, maybe you're in here and you've yet to place your faith and trust in Christ. You've been trying to rely on what you do. Get you right with God. Or you're trying to rely on, as some folks did that time in your life, trying to rely on your heritage. Thinking that, okay, because my grandpa was a Christian, hey, that by osmosis I become one too. Listen, the truth of the matter is, hey, that didn't get you right with God. It's through what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago, shedding His blood, dying, paying the punishment for your sin and mine, raising from the dead on the third day, that we're able to be made right with God. And the call for us is to surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're in here and you know the Lord, you have a relationship with Him, but you've been caught up in this idea of, hey, in order for me to grow, I've got to do these certain things. I've got to attend these certain meetings. I've got to be a part of these certain ideas by obligation. And in doing so, you've neglected, right, to fellowship with the Creator of the universe, which is what He wants anyway. So maybe your response is, man, I just want to have a closer walk with Thee. Maybe you're in here and the reason why you're not able to grow in your walk with God because there's still stuff you got to die to. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And listen, as I pray this morning, listen, you get right with the Lord. He's speaking to you. When I say amen, we're going to stand and sing. Go come to the altar and really sing that as an invitation to us. Maybe you need some extra prayer. I'd love to pray. They'll be down front. Brother Cody's in the back. Miss Megan's in the back as well. They'd love to pray with you. We've got cards up here with pens. Maybe there's still some stuff you've got to die to in order to really walk out this life that God's calling us to live. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And listen, you had a business with the Lord this morning. To be folks that live this life, right? Crucified with Christ. Walk in this freedom that we have. Amen. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. We do thank you for today, God. Thank you for, God, your good news, Lord. You came and died for us so that we could have life in you. God, I pray for those in here that are trying to earn their way to heaven today. God, I pray, Lord, they'd stop running to this idea of following a set of rules, right? This idea of legalism being the way to God, and they choose to turn around and run to you. We know that, man, that's the only way we're made right with you, so we surrender to you. God, I pray for those in here that have been caught up in the rut of, right, performance, out of obligation instead of out of a love for you. God, I pray that, God, all of us would understand this call to keep the main thing the main thing. It starts with us having a close walk with you. God, it was through the law that we died to the law, Lord. This idea that we don't live right to perform or to, God, solely try and please you for what we do or to earn your favor even more so. But we live and to walk in this relationship with you. And it's through that that we glorify. It's through that you empower us to live a life that pleases you. It's through that we bear fruit for you. And help us to understand the need to cling close to you. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you. We ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. Amen and amen. Why don't we stand and sing together and listen to you and respond as the Lord leads.